We greet our friends everywhere with Chapter 11 of Frank Was Always a Lady, the story of Frances Willard. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians, and is brought to you by the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago. Somewhere in Europe, the shy, quite provincial, and somewhat self-centered Frances Willard disappeared. The 31-year-old woman who came back to Evanston in 1871 now saw the whole world with what she called a kind of tender pity. What's more, she was very sure God wanted her to help that world. Less than a year later, she was pulled back to the career she hated, teaching. But this was different. Frank became the first president of Evanston College for Ladies, a brand new school working closely with Northwestern University and its president, Dr. Erastus Haven, to serve the girls of her native land and times. Well, this was her big chance. All summer, Frank promoted her school to lecture audiences of young women and their parents. She sparked a huge 4th of July celebration. In one day, folks pledged more than $30,000. In September, 236 young women lined up to register. The college was off to a good start. To serve the girls of her land and times. And Frank had her own ideas about how you could do this most effectively.
I suppose you think I'm pretty obnoxious, Miss Willard, barging into your office with a complaint before we've even been here 2 weeks. But, well, the girls, we all think this is so obnoxious we couldn't keep still any longer.
Sit down, Rose. Coffee? Just going to have mine.
Yes, I'd like coffee.
All right. There. Now then, it's going to chapel that bothers you.
It isn't chapel. I wouldn't exactly say that. It's marching two by two. That's obnoxious. It's like Noah's Ark. The elephants and the rhinoceros. Two by two. There go the animals into the chapel. It's
obnoxious.
Oh, it's worse than that. It looks as if we have to have a bodyguard. Like nobody trusts us. Like they thought we were going to bolt and run off.
Rose, do you know I used to march two by two into chapel? I used to go to school here, Rose, back when it was Northwestern Female College.
I suppose you didn't mind.
I hated it. I felt like I was marching off to the gallows.
Well, isn't it obnoxious?
Obnoxious. Rose, for years and years, there have been stately, slow-moving, two-by-two processions into chapel. Every day, for years. I think we've had enough.
You mean...
From now on, go to chapel any way you want. Go with your crowd. Go alone. I don't care how you go, but please go.
Oh, Miss Willard, you're wonderful.
No, just human. It's up to you from now on how you go to chapel, if you go. But you've had your last march to Noah's Ark. You can count on that. More coffee? Dr. Haven, something has to be done about this. The Men's Literary Society of your university is seriously hampering my girls' education.
Miss Willard, you flatter my men.
Let's face facts. The men discuss. They don't gossip and simper. Exclude my girls, and you exclude them from ideas, clear thinking, and education.
We aren't excluding them, Miss Willard. I agree that your girls could learn a lot by sitting in on our Men's Literary Society. But rules are rules, and schedules can't be upset. The fall term is well underway. We must continue to meet at night.
Even if meeting at night bars our girls? Because they can't go anywhere after dark without chaperones.
Those are your rules. Do you blame our men for saying aloud no to chaperones sitting in on their meetings?
No, but it's not fair.
Your school made the chaperone rule.
We'll change it. Then what will you do, Dr. Haven?
What are you proposing?
Scrap the chaperones. Let the girls walk across town alone.
After dark?
Yes, after dark. It's all settled. I have officially eliminated the chaperones. I'll post a notice tomorrow. Expect our girls at Friday's literary meeting.
I like you, Miss Willard. I like to work with somebody like you.
Thank you, Dr. Haven.
I wish I were going to be around longer to enjoy it. We'd get along all right.
Be around? I don't understand.
Well, Miss Willard, I'll tell you this in confidence. This is between me and the board so far. A man gets to a point where...
Dr. Haven, it's 3 o'clock. Your man is here about the library.
I'm sorry. Stop in again any time, Miss Willard. Complaints or not?
She was building a college that would treat young women as if they could think, too. For the first month, nobody, nothing blocked her. The trustees, Mrs. Mary Haskins, president, winced only slightly. Then, October 9th, 1871, a lantern toppled over, and a whole city blazed up.
Mother, did you call me for breakfast? I'll be right there. Wait, there's somebody at the door. All right, I'm coming. Be there in a minute, Mother. You and Kate start.
Oh, there you are, Miss Willard. Oh, bless the good Lord, you're home.
Hetty, what's wrong?
Come here.
You hurt? I haven't had breakfast yet.
Oh,
what's wrong,
it's
Hetty?
Terrible,
the baby?
Miss Willard. Didn't you know? Chicago's all burned up.
Now, Hetty, come in and sit down. You're beside yourself. Now, your common sense ought to tell you that's impossible.
Well, you come out on the lawn, ma'am.
Hetty, I haven't had breakfast.
Well, you think I don't know what I'm saying? Come out on the lawn and sniff.
Sniff?
You can smell it from here.
Smell what?
Oh, burning and the smoke and heaven save us, people.
Hattie.
Come out and you'll smell it too.
All right.
The breeze brings it up on the lake. Now you stand there out on the open and just...
What is that funny smell?
It's Chicago, Miss Willard. Believe me, the whole city's burning up.
It is smoke.
Miss Willard?
Rose.
Miss Willard. Oh, Miss Willard, it's terrible. Chicago's on fire. The houses are crumbling like cardboard.
Oh, God, have mercy on us, children.
Now, you two, calm down. Now, tell me what's happened.
Oh, all the stores are gone.
Where did you hear this?
And it's leaped the river. It's coming right this way. My father's down there,
Rose,
Miss Willard.
Stop it now. If it's true, my brother's there, too.
Well, what'll we do?
Oh, we've got to go somewhere.
Right now, we'll all go in the house and eat some breakfast and calm down. Then we'll do... what has to be done. Now, come along, Rose. Your father's all right. Hetty, stop crying. How are your men coming, Walker?
Ain't stopped digging since noon, Miss Willard. This here trench makes the 10th for me.
Have my girls been by with coffee?
Hell, bless their hearts. Yeah, I'm done in.
Bless you. You'll save our town.
I don't need too sure, ma'am. I've seen flames leap trenches before. They get roaring.
Keep on digging. There's the student brigade. Oh, good.
Line up this side, fellas. Careful with them there buckets, eh? Every drop's precious.
Yeah, okay.
All right, now. Get in close here. Stay put. Don't wander away. If she comes, she'll come fast. You better get back there all the way, ma'am.
First train load's due any minute now. Refugees from Chicago.
On your way back, stop at my house.
Sure thing, Miss Willard.
Tell my mother the refugees are coming. Tell her to take in anybody that comes to the door.
I'll tell her.
I'll stay here at the trenches. You go back to your digging, Walker. I'll watch the bucket brigade.
Okay.
All right, girls. More coffee right over here.
Yes, Miss Willard.
Well, Dr. Haven... the danger's over.
It was a miracle. That student bucket brigade couldn't have touched it. They'd have gone up like torches. God saved Evanston, Frank.
I pray he saved my brother Oliver, too. We're still waiting for word. Dr. Haven, 200 were lost down there.
17,000 buildings.
Can they ever build the city again?
They figure they lost $200 million of property and business. And it isn't just Chicago, Frank. This will affect all of us.
Thank God we're way up here on the lake. Now we must do something to help the unfortunates.
Frank, you don't realize. Those businessmen who lost their property made their money in Chicago, yes, but they spent, gave away most of it right here.
What do you mean?
You're a smart woman, Frank, but you don't know finance. Those men were the same men who pledged to support your college.
Dr. Haven, that never occurred to me.
$30,000 in pledges. Do you know what happens to a pledge when a man goes bankrupt?
But maybe those men didn't have...
The law of averages. 17,000 buildings. Most of them probably did.
Then it's like Walker said. The flames leaped right over the trenches.
How's that?
That fire ruined my college, just as surely as if we'd been down on the corner of State and Randolph. I don't like pleading poverty.
You don't dislike it nearly as much as I dislike not getting my rent money.
Mr. Jones, you'll get your money.
When?
When we can afford to pay you.
That's what I'm waiting for. January's come and gone, and I haven't seen my money.
I haven't seen my money, and that's why you haven't seen yours. The big fire...
Didn't touch my Evanston property. I can still rent it to somebody that pays what I want.
I can't get money from the sources that promised it to me. I'm doing the best I can. Nobody has any money this year, Mr. Jones. I've even had to reduce next term's tuition.
I want my full rent. You pay me what you promised, or you find someplace else to keep school.
Ladies of the board, and that's all. The Evanston Village Council gave us land to build on and 3 years to do it. 1 year's gone already. I know, we're going into a hole with our rent. But in spite of it, we must build. We have to. 2 more years and the land goes back to the council. Then what happens to our college? Ask yourself. Ladies, I've said enough. Now it's time to hear our charming and wise president of the board, the founder of the school, Mrs. Mary Haskins. Mrs. Haskins.
Ladies, I have just one word for today. This is for your good and the good of the school. My husband and I have agreed. We think it best. Ladies, I resign from the college board.
Well, Frank, Mrs. Haskins isn't the only one who's resigning this spring. I am, too. I'm tired and need a rest.
You're resigning. Well, I'd suspected it all along, but it's a blow. Funny thing, Dr. Haven, I came over here today to tell you we need help.
I'm as sorry as can be about your deficit, Frank.
Evanston College for Ladies is in a bad way. I was hoping the university would give us a hand.
Now you'll have to save your story for Northwestern's new president. You'll work along all right with him, as you did with me.
But he won't be here until the fall.
No, you'll have to ride it out till the end of summer. Charlie will be here in September. You could run down to Chicago to see him. I think you ought to know before the official announcement. Frank, our new president is Charlie Fowler. You know, he's a big man in the Methodist Church.
No, I didn't know.
You two ought to get along very well together. He's young. And...
Dr. Haven, it's more than age that determines whether people get along well. I'll miss you.
Frank, you're very kind.
This news upsets me more than you realize.
You flatter me, Frank.
I'm sorry about your retirement. There's nothing I can do. I'll have to wait until September and appeal to Charlie... Dr. Fowler... when he gets here.
And so we conclude chapter 11 of Frank Was Always a Lady, the story of Frances Willard. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians, which comes to you transcribed from the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago.